Hi, and welcome to episode 352 of No Crying in Baseball, the Rules Don't Apply to Me episode. My name's Patty, and I'm here with my friend Potty Mouth. Hi, Potty Mouth.
Hey there. Can I get in with you on the rules not applying to me?
Oh, they don't apply to you either, for sure.
Oh, good.
For sure. Right. And you'll learn why later. There's absolutely some loopholes that we can get in under. Can I just say that I'm appreciating your Celtics cap?
Yeah, I was going to say I love me a good loophole, but yes, the boss, this is in celebration of Boston being fucking awesome yesterday. It was a very good day for Boston sports, and I really appreciated that, although I didn't get to watch much of anything because of a last-minute Passover Seder, which was just done not...
Yeah, you didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
You know, you can't even plan for those, and you never know when they're going to turn up.
Right. Well, it was that Saturday thing, so we kind of, you know... But there was some Celtics on, I think, in the background at the end. But it was Red Sox and then Celtics and then Bruins all 2 hours apart start times. And they all won. So hat trick, right?
Sure.
Which I got to explain to our French friend. Not, well, I guess he is French. Yeah. Who is not, he's gotten many ears full of sports at this point.
But lots of sports. That's for decades of ears full, earfuls?
Yeah.
Earfuls of sports.
Right.
Or ears.
Or ears full.
Both of his ears are probably full of sports from all decades of friendship with you guys. Yeah.
So I'm very excited. So I'm wearing the Celtics hat because I'm trying to bring them good luck. They're not playing today, but soon. And they're up 2-1, and the Bruins are up 3-1. And then the Red Sox yesterday was a fucking crazy game where they beat the Cubs 17-0 after losing to them the day before. So I was just in awe, like checking the updates, and very happy for Seydon Rafaela, because he'd been struggling, and he, all by himself, had 7 RBI yesterday.
Wait, Seydon Rafaela. That's like Victor Mesa.
No, well, yeah, it's just Seydon.
I try so hard to just be comic relief, but no.
Yeah, well,
no,
it,
I get
it works.
Corrections. I get notes.
No, mostly it's me like figuring out the joke and being like a little bit behind and then realizing, oh, that's just funny.
Yeah,
it's
not, but not just, anymore because now I've been corrected.
All right, sorry.
Hey, Potty Mouth invented a new cocktail, and I just named it. So we are drinking Defense is Sexy.
Yeah.
Which it absolutely is. It's got mezcal and some seltzer and something super healthy. What is the super healthy part?
Yeah, so it's Uncle Matt's Ultimate Defense is what it's called. So hence the defense is sexy. And it's orange and pineapple and ginger and turmeric. So it's anti-inflammatory. It's healthy. And it just has a little splash of mezcal.
And it's been spanked with mezcal. See, now the choices were that or vodka. And we decided, well, I decided, and everybody listened to me, that if it had vodka, it would be the brunch version of the Defense is Sexy. But this is with mezcal instead. The smokiness, it makes it much more of a happy hour cocktail.
Very nice. Very nice. And we are still in Passover here, which is why we're not drinking beer. We could have done the wine, but this just seemed a little bit more festive. And if you can shake something before a podcast, it's always a good thing. Right?
Yes, yes. And you did a nice job with the shaking, may I just say. Oh, my gosh. On today's show, boyfriends that we've left behind, the ones that we didn't, and some notables from the past. We've got a dusty appreciation. We always have a dusty appreciation. Our police blotter features self-serving interpretations of rules. We've got Houston and Colorado in Mexico City. We've got unrelated tacos. Well, unrelated to that. And we've got a proposed research project. Cheers.
Cheers. All right.
Hey, I'm going to start off because so when we profiled guys from every team, we could only pick some of them for our fantasy team. And so we had to leave some guys behind. And one of the guys I left behind was my Milwaukee Brewers boyfriend, Joey Ortiz.
That still sounds weird to me. Milwaukee Brewers, Joey Ortiz.
Yeah. He went to Milwaukee in the Corbin Burns trade. So happy to get Corbin Burns. We do miss Joey Ortiz. And good things happen to Joey Ortiz, which you will appreciate because they involve Yankees
beating
losing
the Yankees.
And also a brief moment of shirtlessness.
Oh, that's two of my favorite
things. This is what I'm thinking. Okay, so prior to Friday, he was 1-for-15 in like the previous like 5 games prior to Friday, not doing well. Friday night versus the Yankees, he had his first career home run. It was a 2-run homer in the second. And then in the 11th inning, he hit a walk-off single, which was his first walk-off ever. So it was a beautiful, beautiful night for baseball for Joey Ortiz. In celebration of the walk-off, his teammates ripped off his jersey because why wouldn't you? But then, of course, it was important for him to do like on-field interviews. So he actually borrowed Willy Adames' jersey.
Oh.
So he could be, you know, decent and not flashing anybody for those on-field post-game interviews. This was the only happy spot for some of us on Friday in which every single team in the AL East lost.
Although, at least if they all lose, we're all, like, still the same in the standings.
Yeah, but it's weird. But the thing that happened was, you know, we always say, well, everybody in our division is above 500. Right. That is no longer the case. The Rays and the Jays are both under 500.
Still?
Well, they were as of this morning when I did my notes. I don't know how all of today's things
I believe the Jays out. The Jays won today and the Rays are still in motion at the time of recording.
Yeah, so again, so we record on Sunday afternoon, so that's how we're basing all of our stats and our last number of games and whatever, but yeah, at least for a moment, we were not the whole division over 500. So there's that.
And the fucking Yankees won today.
You had some guys that you kind of think, maybe.
Yeah. So what I've learned to do from you is to check on the past week about how guys are doing. And this time, before I started checking on the guys who I have on my fantasy roster, I saw something about Logan Ohapi.
He's been really fun to watch.
He's been super fun, and he's a good guy. And I'm torn because I just picked too many catchers. I don't know. Things just kind of worked out that way. And so I have Jonah Heim and Gabriel Moreno, who are both young and wonderful and adorable. And they're cooling a little bit now, but they're young and who knows. And especially Gabriel Moreno, I just really like. However, Logan Ohapi, well, when I first started doing my notes, he had a 311 average. And this is, I'm a little nervous about premature note-taking at this point because I feel like I've cursed all these guys because my shtick was going to be I totally should have picked them and put them on my fantasy team because they're doing better than the guys who are on it. So the guys that I am saying had done well have taken a hit since I started looking into them. So I feel slightly responsible here. So Logan Ohapi was batting 311 with 829 OPS a couple days ago. Today, the last time I looked, he was down to 295 with 789 OPS. And I talked about, if you go back to our off-season episodes where we talk about these guys in depth, last year should have been his year, but he had a big shoulder injury. So he only played 51 games last year. So this is supposed to be his breakout year. He was a former number one prospect. So it's like I should have known. Like I read and all that stuff out loud to y'all, and I still didn't put him on my roster.
Can I interrupt you and ask you, what team does he play for?
The Angels.
Thank you.
Thank you. There. That is very good. Very good. Key information. But I did find like another thing to like about him as a human being. He keeps three journals, and this is fascinating. And so as a catcher, he keeps one journal just focused on the game planning with the pitcher. So it's checking out the pitchers that he works with, keeping stats with them, planning games. His second journal is his own on his batting. And his third one he recently started on ballparks that he's visiting. And he's soaking it all in. And I think it was Adam Wainwright who did this like his last year when he knew it was end and he wanted to soak it all in. So just for Ohapi to have that foresight now to be like, all right, I have this opportunity. I'm traveling all over the country. I'm going to all these cool ballparks. I'm going to keep a journal just on this experience. The other cool thing is when they played at the beginning of the season in Boston, they arrived a little early. They arrived Wednesday night and their first game against Boston was Friday. Boston was in the middle of the series with the O's getting slammed at that point. So he bought himself a bleacher seat for the O's game.
I love him.
Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome.
So he sat in the bleachers for most of the game watching the Orioles destroy the Red Sox. But because he has a little pull being a Major League Baseball player, he was able to go over to the monster seats for the end of the game. So I'm wondering, between Heim and Moreno, I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't be holding three catchers. That's just silly. None of them play another position. So I got to keep my eye on it.
Keep your eye on it and see if he's still available. I mean, hold that in the back of your head. If somebody gets hurt, if something happens, you know, we're looking for wood to knock on, right? You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know because like last year there was, I don't have enough catchers. You can't foresee everything. Right. I have three. I have two and a half. You know, I've got, MJ plays both.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I wish one of these guys could cover first base. That would be lovely.
So I've got, you know, one and a half.
And I need somebody to cover first base. Maybe they can pick it up. Mike Tauchman, on the other hand, did I say that right?
Sure. Let's go with that.
Cubs. Kind of wish he didn't do well. Well, last night the Red Sox did just fine against the Cubs. The previous night, Mike Tauchman had a play important in them winning against the Red Sox. But this past week against the Astros, he hit two opposite field home runs in one game. And I have to give credit to our friend Sarah Sanchez from Bleed Cubby Blue, right? Is that what it's called? Who coined the phrase Apo Taco, T-A-U-C-H-O. Of course, everybody's heard Apo Taco before, but not with this spelling. And it was his first two home runs of the season, two opposite field home runs. He's getting a lot of play time now because Seiya Suzuki is out with an oblique injury, as is, and most people have heard about this one, Cody Bellinger with two fractured ribs. So that Cubs outfield needs some help. So he's out there with your buddy Ian Happ making coffee. Pete Crow Armstrong is getting some time there.
Yeah, he's got his call up. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I almost picked him too. But I think now I've put Mike Tauchman on the team. I switched him out for Astros' Jake Myers, who is not getting as much play time, also not doing very well. But Tauchman not only is doing well in the outfield, but I think, I cursed him again. Fuck it. So when I started taking the notes.
So much power.
This is crazy shit. He was batting .298 with .928 OPS in the first 21 games, but nope. Right now, as of the time of checking, he is down to .281. That's still pretty good though, .878, which is way better than Jake Myers. So I think I did the right switch. Also of youngins. So I had three like high-level prospect rookies for different teams. Outman for the Dodgers, Jackson Churio with the Brewers, and then Mason Winn with the Cardinals. And these are three guys who didn't play at all last year and are just showing up in big time. And I thought that they were all just going to blast onto the scene. And you never know. I mean, look what happened with Jackson Holliday, right? I didn't look at your notes. Are you talking about him today?
Nope. He got sent back down to AAA, which is probably a good idea because apparently he was not ready with the whole big league situation. But, you know, I'm sure he's doing just fine.
And that happens. And so, you know, who knows which one. So anyway, I put Outman and Chorio in my roster. I did not put on Mason Winn. And he is not being cursed by me. Yay. He actually went up a notch from 313 to 314 from when I took notes to right now in batting average, and 804 up a notch also in OPS. And I'm wondering, is he a candidate at this point for Rookie of the Year? He not only is batting, he has four stolen bases, he's got these daily sexy diving stops. And he scored from first on a single with base running. Also, he's got an attitude. I saw like a positive attitude, very mature. I saw him in an interview and he really was very well composed. He has great hair. And he was talking about being a sponge around Ozzie Smith, who I guess has a role with the Cardinals coaching this year, and knowing to soak it in from your successful elders. And so I wanted to put him on my team, and I forget who I want to get rid of between Outman and – I can't get rid of Chaudio. I don't know. They're both outfield, and Wynn is infield. So I think I was trying to get rid of Jorge Polanco, who is an old guy doing very poorly. So I don't feel bad at all getting rid of him. But you put Wynn on our ghost team. And so he's on one of those teams that doesn't have a person.
Oh.
Yeah, he's like the placeholder.
Oh,
so I
can help you with that.
Okay, you got to help me with that because I think I want.
I mean, might need a second defensive sexy, so I, you know, can work that out.
All right, excellent. Well, and I was thinking, like, duh, his name is Win. Like, why didn't I win? I want to win.
Like, that seems like a gimme. So it many. Really does. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you just don't pay attention to the signs.
Yeah. Shoot. So okay, I'm gonna win. I'm gonna get Win. I did not put on Michael Garcia, and here's my reverse curse. So I started taking notes because I noticed he was doing kind of shitty. There was an article I read about him toward the start of the season, beginning of April, talking about how well they expect him to do this year, which is exactly what I said, and that he had a very high hard hit rate last year, high exit velocity, but he was sitting at a 202 average when I started these sad notes on him, and he's up to 222, 657 OPS. Right. So maybe that'll shake down also.
So either that's a reverse thing or you just have no power whatsoever and things are just going to happen. But I believe you do have power.
Right.
I
know
I,
Mr. Pottymouth doesn't think so. He thinks but this that's, is farly it's not his show, overrated. So. Yeah.
He's relegated to tech support forever with that kind of attitude. He's never going to get on air time. Positive vibes only.
Yeah.
Hey, so I had three guys currently on my team who were not getting multiple hits per games at all. We're not slumpy, maybe okay. a little bit of a slump, and they really all kicked it in this week. So let me tell you about them real quickly. My Angels guy, Zach Neto, had only two multi-hit games in the first 21 games of the season. That's not a lot, right? Tuesday, he was on my bench. I did not play him, so I got no points for this. And he went 2 for 3 with a double, 2 runs batted in, and scored a run. So that got my attention. So I put him back into play.
In time.
And, well, not for that one, but for the rest of the week. For the rest of the week, he had multiple hits in 3 out of 4 games.
So there you go.
He went 3 for 4 on Friday with 2 doubles and an RBI.
So you are not a curse. You put him on your team, and he continued to excel. He lived up to your expectations.
Will Brennan from Cleveland for the last 7 days has a 1.235 OPS.
Wow.
He had a super slow start, but he had 5 extra base hits across 4 games in the past week, including 2 home runs, right? Because why? Because he's making good swing decisions.
That's
right?
Patty boyfriend is making good decisions.
Making good decisions. That feels good. So yay, Will Brennan. So I'm having some fun with my outfield guys. I'm not always hitting it right. Like, I've always got some good outfield guys. I don't necessarily have them in the right place at the right time. So I feel like I switched them too late. Anyway, Evan Carter from Texas. slow start on like power hitting. Over 5 games last week, he hit homer number 3, homer number 4, and homer number 5.
Holy shit.
He had 3 multi-hit games. I'm going to bring this next part up because I need to follow up on your whole Lazy River situation with the Rough Riders, because there was Evan Carter weekend, May 10th and 11th, at their AA Rough Riders facility, right? Where, do you know, I don't know that you mentioned this, but the Lazy River is actually the largest water feature in a sports facility.
Really?
Well, that's what they say in their documentation.
Everything's big in Texas.
Everything's bigger in Texas. So if you were to go, in fact, to ride the Lazy River over the course of May 10th and 11th for Evan Carter weekend, you can visit the Texas World Series trophy, which will be visiting the park. Now, it's available for anyone to take pictures, but if you want to guarantee that you have time to take a picture, you get to pay an extra $20. If it's going to be available anyway, I think I might just wait in line and buy a beer or two with the extra $20. But anyway, if you go on Friday, you get an Evan Carter growth chart.
Does that measure how tall your kid is growing?
I believe so.
Compared to him? Is there a life size?
I don't know if it was this is how tall Evan Carter was through the years, or if it's actually for you to measure your own children. I don't know. They don't give details. And there, of course, is a bobblehead on Saturday. And I think there's a kid's jersey on Sunday. So Zach, Will, Evan, all of a sudden, all these multi-hit games happening the past week, except for Saturday. Not one of those three guys had a hit. On Saturday, they all went over on Saturday. The guy who did that in reverse, if we're talking about reverses, is my Red Sox guy, Masataka Yoshida.
I am so glad.
So here's what's been happening with him. He sat. He sat for most of the week. And
he was struggling.
But it wasn't just that. Part of it was he's been bad in the outfield, but he's been DHing.
Yeah.
But he didn't DH when Tyler O'Neill came back, because he needed to DH because they weren't ready to put him in a position. And then same thing. So Devers comes back. Right. He was going to start. So initially, Yoshida was going to be in the starting lineup on Thursday. But Devers wasn't ready to start at third. So they were going to start him at DH. And because Yoshida hasn't been very stellar in the outfield, there wasn't any other place to put him. So he's at Thursday and also on Friday. So he's been ticked. Well, yes and no. It's you want to get play. You want to play, but also you're not showing the other half. You're whatever.
And the outfield's full, really. Now.
And the outfield is full. Yeah. So finally on Saturday, he's back in the lineup because O'Neill's back in the outfield. Devers is back at third, so he can get this DH spot back.
Hallelujah.
He went 4 for 5 with an RBI, and he scored 3 runs.
Well, who didn't on Saturday?
Well, the other three guys. Well, for the Red Sox, yes. But I'm saying I have these three guys who did nothing on Saturday, and everything happened for Yoshida. So we'll see if that continues. Was that enough to prove himself that he gets that spot back, or was that a flash in the pan? Because everybody scored runs on Saturday.
And I have another funny stat on that, knock on wood, and maybe I shouldn't be saying this out loud because clearly I'm a curse. However, Willier Abreu is on an 8-game RBI streak, and apparently that's setting a Red Sox record for a player with consecutive games with RBI.
Let me give you some fun facts about my pitchers from the Dodgers. The Disney Prince, Tyler Glasnow, Saturday threw 6 scoreless versus Toronto, and then he gave up a walk at the beginning of the 7th and then gave up an RBI double at his 95th pitch to my Toronto boyfriend, Oof. Davis Schneider.
Wow.
And he had 9 strikeouts up to that point. So they pulled him then, because they would have pulled him then anyway, because it's not 95 pitches, right? But he left with cramping in his hand. And he's listed as day-to-day right now, but everyone's like, no, it's just cramping. He's fine. So it could work out very well if he's day-to-day. He's not going to get another start for several days. So it might be fine. But right now, the Disney Prince leads the league in innings pitched of 43, strikeouts 53, and wins 5
wins.
My closer with the Dodgers is Evan Phillips, who is perfect 8-for-8 with saves. Pretty good. His ERA is 0.77. And he has 15 strikeouts versus 4 walks through 11.2 innings.
Wow.
Now, this is he's not shut down. Like, he's not a shutdown pitcher, because 3 of those 4 bases on balls happened in the 9th inning on Tuesday. He had a bad inning. He still pulled it out.
Wow.
Still got the save, but it wasn't looking good for a while. Whereas for Thursday, he got the save in 14 pitches, and two of the batters were struck out. So he's doing great. So yay, Evan Phillips. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is here to prove that pitchers are athletes. I don't know if you saw this clip.
Oh, my God.
So
he said he would have died.
He would have died. So while playing the Nats, he's pitching to Eddie Rosario, who I love deeply. And Eddie hits 105-mile-per-hour liner at the pitcher's head. Yeah. And he got his glove up in time. I think he was just trying to deflect the ball to, like, save himself from, in fact, death. Yes. But he actually caught the ball and got the out. And if you watch this clip, as soon as he like moves the glove away with the ball in it, he's kind of giddy. Like, I can't believe that just happened. So he's kind of laughing. He's kind of like, what the hell? But yeah, I mean, he threw 6 scoreless innings. He struck out 7, and he didn't die. So yeah. I think that there's a hat trick for you.
That's a total winner.
So yeah, so the trainer did come out to check on him. He's like, no, I'm fine. I mean, I saved myself from death. But how freaking scary. If you watch this clip in real time, you know, like on regular speed, it's so freaking fast. It's so freaking fast. So he's just pretty lucky.
I don't know how you get back on the mound after something like that. Like, that's traumatizing.
Well, you get a minute with your trainer, apparently. Yeah. And then you go back on.
Holy shit.
So yeah, so those are my current guys. You got some current guys that are got things.
Yeah, just a quick update on guys that I talked about last week. I was super optimistic about Kevin Kiermaier last week. Last Sunday, it was the day before his birthday. He had just gotten a bunch of hits. He was starting to finally kick in. Welp, the day after his birthday, he was put on the 10-day IL for hip flexor inflammation. So I'm hoping that that is a short stay, and I am keeping him on my bench until I hear otherwise. We'll see how he's doing. However, absolutely always in my starting lineup is Elly De La Cruz, who I really hope can keep this up. He's up to 17 stolen bases in 28 games so far. That is fucking crazy. The next up is Bryce Turang. Was that last year for you?
Last year.
Who has 13. So I tried to do some math. You'll be very proud of me. So at this point, there were 28 out of 162 games played, which means he would be on track. If he stays at exactly this rate, he would be on track for 98 stolen bases this season. Well, Ricky Henderson has the record with 130, or record for modern day. There's one above him for all time. But modern day, he has the record for 130 in 1982. So Elly De La Cruz might have to put on a little bit more speed there to hit that. But there's, you know, several other places that he could place. But still, if he could do 100, that would be, I mean, Ricky Henderson did that. That's like another year of his.
So something to point out there is that Ricky Henderson did all this before there were instant replays.
That's true.
And so, as you know,
that's a good point.
They're not a lot, but some stolen bases get reversed, right, because of, you know, they're so close. And then when you do it frame by frame, the call is wrong. So I'm curious if they could adjust Ricky Henderson's, what it would be. It would still be astronomical. Right. I'm not saying it's not, but I am saying that it's a little bit apples and orangey because of this, like, reduced success rate because of the instant replay.
Well, and plus the limited throwovers are first now. So then there's that on the other side. Like maybe he has more opportunity to go to second and the bigger bases and all that stuff. So stats are weird.
I feel like I might disappoint you to tell you that the Athletic also did the math, so you didn't have to, but your math is correct. It's 97, but it might have been like a day or two different from when you did your math. But nice work.
Phew.
Nice work.
All right. Well, and I also, he is tied sixth for home runs with 7. So he is, a force to be reckoned with. And I am on the Von Grissom watch. Because I can't wait until I think I can't wait until he gets up to the Red Sox. He's having a little bit of a slow rehab. He has 6 hits and 26 at-bats at this point and 2 stolen bases. So he is above Mendoza, but not by a lot. And he is on an upward trajectory. So he had a couple of slow games to start, and it looks like it's a good rehab, arc. So I'm hoping that he makes it up pretty soon. We'll see.
Nice. I have 2 former boyfriends to report on. Congratulations to Pete Alonso, a Mets boyfriend of years past, who hit his 200th home run on Saturday versus St. Louis. He is the 4th fastest to reach that 200 mark. He did it in 710 games.
Wow.
Just for comparison, Aaron Judge did it in 671, which just seems quite remarkable, but everything about that is remarkable. He's also has the 4th highest home run total ever for Mets. The next guy to catch is Mike Piazza at 220.
Wow. So this was, Saturday was their City Connect Day.
It was. So they lost the game, but it was lucky for Pete because he got his milestone homer.
Wow. Their batting helmets are so cool. Did you see the City Connect batting helmets?
No.
It's got the bridge.
It's the bridge.
It's very etched. Like I'm sure it's kind of like a 3D thing. It looks very
cool. Yeah. Very nice. Hey, so Josh Naylor, who has been with Cleveland for a couple years now, along with his brother Bo, was my boyfriend back when he was with San Diego. This weekend was a big series because it was Cleveland versus Atlanta, who had the 2 best records in all of baseball. Atlanta ended up winning the series 2-1. But Saturday, the game that Cleveland won, yesterday and today, they went into extra innings, which I think is remarkable. And what you want to see when you've got the 2 currently, best records in baseball playing together, you want to see close games. And they were all like that. So Saturday's game, in the 11th inning, Atlanta walked Jose Ramirez, because why would you want that man to hit?
Right.
And Stephen Kwan was on 3rd. And Naylor says, he's predicting. He says, they're going to walk him. They're going to want to face me. And I'm going to make them regret it in a humble way.
That's so perfect. What you're supposed, that's the attitude. That's exactly what you're supposed to
think. It took all of one pitch. He had a go-ahead 2 RBI double, and Cleveland won 4-2.
Yay.
And he says that the reason that he and his brother Bo are so chill, they're so calm in these like really high pressure situations, is all the backyard practice they did with their parents.
Wow.
He said their parents, They would practice whatever, in the backyard every day. And at the end of every practice, they would sort of throw out a high pressure situation saying, okay, here's what's happening.
Wow.
And, kind of set them up for here's what you've got to do.
That's
he called
so
it throwing
cool.
out situations. And he said, if we don't do it, like hit the ball over the neighbor's fence, it sucks because we got to live with it for the rest of that night, then come back tomorrow and try to do it.
Wow.
So it's something we've always done as kids, and it's what we love. Those are the moments we drive for. So how about that, parents? These things that you do with your kids really have some lasting impact. Also, for the good guy moment, this is one of the things that, we appreciate about these guys that we select, is that they have something special about them. Here's a good guy moment for Josh Naylor. On Wednesday, a woman who's a daughter of this older woman, Carolyn, who is in hospice. Carolyn is a big, big Cleveland baseball fan, and Josh Naylor is her favorite player, and she really wanted one more trip to Progressive Field. Carolyn's daughter reached out, and the plan was for her to be out on the field pregame so she could watch batting practice. If you watch the clip of this, she's there in a wheelchair. It was a weirdly cold day, so she had hat and coat and the whole thing, but she was there on the field. She did not know that Josh Naylor was going to pop out of the dugout with a bouquet of flowers and a signed bat.
What a nice
for
guy.
Her, which was very, very sweet. And then he was worried about her being cold, so he tucked his jacket over her like blanket. So, oh my God, how amazing is
what
that? So Josh Naylor, all around a good guy. And so thank you, Josh and Bo's parents, for bringing him up just right.
Sure.
Another guy who's just a good guy, who's a big we're big fans of Dusty Baker here on No Crying in Baseball.
Pro Dusty.
We're pro Dusty. The last week, he was the fourth winner of the Baseball Digest Lifetime Achievement Award, which I quote, recognizes a living individual whose career has been spent in or around Major League Baseball and who has made significant contributions to the game. When giving him the award, the commissioner said, Dusty represents leadership, goodwill, and winning baseball. His ability to connect with others across generations is second to none. He's a championship manager and player, but most importantly, Dusty is an extraordinary ambassador for our national pastime. So the three previous winners are Willie Mays, Vin Scully, and Joe Torre.
Wow.
So pretty cool.
Not bad.
Pretty cool.
I'm looking over your shoulder. I think Dusty is behind you.
In his little bobblehead, chewing on his toothpick.
The little toothpick.
Sure.
Yep.
In the police blotter, here we go to the rules don't apply to me.
Oh, good.
Oh, dear.
Except for probably bad here.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't apply to us. They might.
Right. I mean, these would apply to us. We would not try to get out of this one for the same reason. So, relief pitcher for the Cubs, Luke Little, while warming up, the umpire comes out and says, hey, you need to swap out your glove, because his glove had a small, quote, red, white, and blue patch on it. Hmm. Craig Counsell even said, the rules are clear. You cannot have white at all on your glove.
Oh.
Because the ball is white. So it's distracting, right, to have as flashes of white. It's a rule. It is the rule. Everybody who needs to know this rule knows this rule. So after the game, of course, he gets all... Neener gets on Twitter and he posts this proud to be an American, and it was this photo of Hulk freaking Hogan playing a Stars and Stripes guitar, which is probably against flag uses whatnot. But he gets all uppity, like he said the clubhouse guy said that we got an email in advance from MLB saying that glove is not allowed there, so he knew. He knew, but then he was ticked that he got called. Oh, I didn't think they were going to do anything about it. He said,
sure.
Because I'm just representing my country.
Well, I hate to say, we're in the middle of these Trump trials where, this is kind of the mantra
right?
of, rules don't apply to me, and it's because I'm being...
Because I love my Hulk Hogan guitar country.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So, dude, you had warning. You knew in advance. You're just trying to make a thing of this.
Yeah.
You're making, and the thing that you're making makes you look like you're stupid because there are rules. You were told about the rules and you're just, So I'm going to defend Aaron Boone, which is weird.
I would do it too. It's so fucking funny to watch.
Right? Okay. So
it was very funny.
So now we've talked about premature ejections. This is a bad ejection.
Yeah.
This is actually, the technical term is bad ejection. Aaron Boone got tossed Monday during the first inning of the game after he had a brief discussion with the home plate umpire Hunter Wendelstedt. So he was talking to him about a check swing, and he walked away. He was told, don't say anything else or you're going to get tossed. So he said, fine. He closes his mouth. He gives him a thumbs up, and he walks away. Somebody, above the dugout, a freaking fan
who
yells, let's go home plate, and Boone gets ejected. And then it gets weirder. I mean...
Yeah.
Sometimes you see guys getting ejected because something comes from the general direction of the dugout and you can't identify. This was clear. It was like, this guy did. This guy's probably waving his hands. Like, no, that was me.
But he didn't. He didn't fess up.
Yeah.
So that's fucked up. If you're a Yankees fan, you should have been that was me.
But it wouldn't have made a difference because here's why. Later, when he's being interviewed, Wendelstedt says, I don't care who said it. Pointing to Boone, he's the manager of the Yankees and he's responsible for the team.
And the fans.
And he doesn't say in the fans, but it was a fan. What the heck? Dude, what are you trying to say? So what happens to umpires when they make mistakes or they do bad things or they're just ridiculous? And this is the ridiculous category. Umpires are evaluated every single game for their calls, their accuracy on balls and strikes, other calls they make, and something called game management, under which ejections fall, were these appropriate ejections. And MLB says, nope, that was a bad ejection. But nothing immediately happens. If Boone had gotten nuts, he could have been, suspended for games or fined. That doesn't happen to umpires. The only recourse to deal with umpires who get these low evaluations is it factors into when they decide who gets to work All-Star games and postseason assignments, which come with a lot more money. So there's a financial incentive to not be a jerk and to be accurate, because then you have this chance. And also it factors into when they consider promotions to crew chief. Mm-hmm. So it matters career-wise long-term, and it matters financially long-term. But in the meantime, it's just bad press.
Yeah. Actually, Max Scherzer came out this week saying that we should have the demotion thing like they do have in at least Korea and Taiwan.
Where send them down.
Sent down to the minors if you need more practice. Also, I saved on, if you're not following, you should follow Ump Scorecards. They're fantastic follow on Instagram. So that game on Monday, Hunter Wendelstadt had a 68% called strike accuracy. That's bad.
That's serious.
99% for called ball, but 68% for called strike. That's pretty bad. Weirdly, the overall favor went in favor of the Yankees despite them losing that game. So whatever.
Whatever. Oh, my God. Hey, international baseball. Well, growing the game, MLB international baseball.
Yeah, yeah. So happening internationally, but with MLB teams. Right now, as we're speaking, actually, right now, the Astros and the Rockies are playing in Mexico City. They played yesterday and they played today. Only today was on the ESPN national broadcast, weirdly. This is the seventh time that MLB has played in Mexico since 1996, not including the Yankees exhibition games. But only the second in Mexico City, and we actually talked last year when the Padres and Giants played there about a lot of issues of playing in Mexico City. So the other games that they played in Mexico were in Monterrey, which is closer to the coast. It's only 1,702 feet of elevation. Mexico City, however, is 7,349 feet, which is over 2,000 feet higher than the Rockies, where we're already talking about Rockies' home field advantage in the balls flying, right? In more home runs. And last year, when we talked about the Padres Giants series, we talked about Sean Manea basically saying, like, what pitcher wants to pitch in this series, because you're going to get a bump on your ERA. Like, the balls are flying. So I guess if you get a lot of strikeouts, you're okay. But if there is contact, like, you just can't be a fly ball pitcher because those fly balls are going to be flying. I don't know why they're repeating this after that last year, that they're repeated in Mexico City. It might be because it's a gorgeous stadium. It's the Diablos Rojos Alfredo Arp Elú Stadium. And so far, at least yesterday, it kind of panned out. Jordan Alvarez, so the Astros broke a big losing streak. They won 12-4, and Jordan Alvarez had two 461-foot homers. 461 feet twice.
That seems excessive. So do you think altitude comes into play?
So you all know more than we do. But also, as we said last year when the Padres and Giants were there, the cool thing about baseball going internationally is doing stuff beyond just the game. I mean, it's wonderful to have MLB players in other countries so that people can come and see, but that they do things beyond this. And exactly like the Padres and the Giants did, they had a play ball clinic with the Fundación John Langdon Down, which is a foundation in Mexico City, 52 years old, that provides medical, educational, and psychological support for kids with Down syndrome. Mm. And last year when we talked about it, a big central figure was Jock Peterson, right? Because of his brother. And I was, you know, happy to see that the Astros and Rockies are repeating the same thing and having, they had already clinics with these kids. And I was super happy to see that my 2020 pick for the Astros, Jeremy Pena, was very involved. And he had little bracelets that he gave out to the kids that said Pena Pals. So yay for Jeremy Pena. And that was a good thing. It's just nice to see that along with baseball, that they do something for the community. And the other thing that they did with the community is a little bit of the local cuisine, and there was a taco tour. I can't figure out why these six players got picked out of everybody.
Hence the name Unrelated Tacos.
Yeah. So six players got to have signature tacos. So from Colorado, it was Chris Bryant, Elias Diaz, who's my guy, my current pick on the Rockies, and Kyle Freeland. And on the Astros, Jose Urquidy, who I think is the only Mexican player, is definitely the only taco-making Mexican player. I'm not sure if he's the only Mexican player on the teams. Brian Abreu and Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman, so they all name their tacos. They're a little kind of lame. Chris Bryant is KB. Elias Diaz is Elias Diaz. Freeland is Carnitas Más Fina, which means better carnitas than you. Jose Urquidy, though, actually, this took me a minute. His taco is called tacomiendo, and comiendo means eating. So tacomiendo is like a play on eating. I think that's my interpretation.
All right.
Abreu de Abreu Chac Taco. But Alex Bregman, we know, has a salsa. He has his own salsa company. So he named his taco the Wild Soul Taco, which is after his taco. Or his salsa, taco after salsa, yeah. So these tacos are being given out for free if you are lucky enough to get the 1,000 tacos a day that are made. So each, there are three days that they're there, two tacos per day, 1,000 tacos per type of taco are being distributed at Mexico City taquerias. And on the first day that they were there, three of them, actually Nolan Jones, I don't know how he got in on it, but Elias Diaz, Nolan Jones, and Jeremy Pena, also not the author of a taco, but they got to go on a city tour.
The author of a taco?
Right, a type of taco. He didn't, one of these tacos is not unrelated the Peña taco. Sure. Right. Absolutely unrelated tacos. They got to go on a tour of Mexico City, hit a lot of the hot spots, and they made and distributed tacos to people on Friday. So I'm very pro taco. Unfortunately, none of these tacos were vegetarian. They either had carne asada or pastor, which is pork, or carnitas, which is also beef. Carnitas are pork.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning stuff. All I know is I get the ones at Chipotle that are vegetarian. They're like, I forget what they're called, but they're not carnitas. They are
not carnitas.
No, because carne is meat. But it's like a play on that, and I can't remember.
Because all vegetarian versions are a play on that. Yeah,
kinda. Mm-hmm. Well, so some of the guys went for flour tortillas. Some of them went for corn tortillas. Some of them had a side of fries. Three out of the six had a side of fries. Kyle Freeland had a side of cucumbers. So go figure. They had different kinds of salsa. Of course, Alex Bregman had hot wild soul salsa, his you know, own mark. But little different twists on tacos. So people in Mexico City, I'm hoping that they enjoyed the tacos along with the baseball.
We certainly will. I would have.
Yeah.
I would have. Sorry. I would have taken it for the team.
Yeah. I could have said, hold off on the carnita, I'll take everything else on the
taco. Hold off on the thing that makes it specific to that player. Sure.
Well, they had other twists. So okay. I could have gone with, yeah, sure.
Okay. And then give Patty the carnitas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yes. Give Patty the carnitas.
Yeah, sure. We have this crazy fantasy league, and things are starting to shake out a little bit, and I don't like it one bit because I'm sinking to the bottom. Bo Knows Boyfriends is floating at the top yet again, making a little room
between his team
and Karen's crew, who is pretty close to the Sunny Slammers. Tall Boys is kind of holding out in this middle area in fourth place. And then there's a little group here with Bring Back Renelle, Potty Mouths, Posse.
You got me.
Yeah, Wicked Awesome Team and my team are kind of close together. And then I'm followed up by Han Solo and the kids bringing up the rear. My friends, things are going to, they'll change. They'll change.
Maybe the kids will fill out their lineup someday.
That is not our business.
Nope.
That is not our business. There are other things happening in people's lives that aren't our fantasy team.
All right. I am thinking about doing a minor league beer special segment because we often get beer when we go to baseball, but often maybe isn't the right word. Almost always get beer, except for if it's Passover, when we watch a baseball game. And when you go to, say, especially Nats Park or even worse, Fenway, beer's fucking expensive, right? It's like almost, you know, $16 to $20, a large beer. But if you go to minor league ballparks, they have all sorts of beer specials. Like, we really enjoyed the Syracuse Mets had that great craft beer night that we went to.
Can I tell you that that the brewery that we spent some time at, that whole like little tent setup?
Sure.
I've been invited to visit their brewery when I'm in Syracuse in 2 weeks.
Oh.
And it was presented to me as, remember that brewery that we enjoyed at the Syracuse Mets? We can go there.
Very nice.
Yeah, all right, so thank you, intern.
Report back to the class on that one. I happened upon the Asheville Tourists, which is another, but they're not going to be in town when you're there.
They're not. I'm there right between right between homestands.
Yeah, they're actually having a very lovely day. On June 20th, they're going to be playing as the Beer City Tourists with great merch. You can get a Beer City Tourist shirt or hat or any of the above. But not only that Thursday, it does happen to be a Thursday, but every Thursday, they do not play as the Beer City Tourists every Thursday, but they have great beer specials, a buck for what they call regular beer.
Regular beer.
I have no idea, like generic beer. Like I think
corporate beer.
Yeah.
Regular beer is corporate beer.
But $3 for craft beer on a Thursday. All right. So I'm thinking a Thursday, yeah, in Asheville. So if anybody else knows of some great minor league beer deals, please let us know, because I would like to sort of continue marketing.
Like
go
it.
To your minor league games and get some cheap, good, especially if it's good beer, like $3 for a craft beer. It's worth the investment.
That's right. I need a study done. So if anyone has some research time available, I need to compare the results of dad strength players who just welcomed a new baby into their family and how they do the next couple games versus people coming off of hamate surgery, which we have noted in the past, you know, creates some superhuman batting success. Bryce Harper had a 2-run homer day just now after he returned from maternity leave upon the birth of his newborn daughter, his third child. He homered immediately after the birth of his first child, his son Crew, who I think is 4 or 6 or something. His second child, Brooklyn, was born in the offseason, so there's no data there. But this happens a lot. We hear about, you know, these players coming back after welcoming a new child into their family and just rocking it, hitting it out of the park. But we also see that with hamate surgery. So if anybody wants to spend some time, you know, counting, studying, running some numbers, be our friend. We'd love to hear about it.
That sounds fun. Sure. Man, Brooklyn. What was he thinking with that?
Max Scherzer's kid named Brooklyn?
I was going to say, there's somebody who has
clearly
a better...
Clearly, he's a copycat.
Yeah.
And why would you, if you don't, why would you,
right?
Why pick a baseball city?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not your baseball city.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's not like, remember McCutcheon named a kid Steele? That made sense.
Yeah.
But no.
And that's paying off big time.
Oh, my gosh. So, my friends, I hope you're getting out to a couple of ball games. Now you have an important thing to do. You need to go to minor league ballparks and tell us about the whole beer situation, because
please
it matters greatly to us. And so if you have that kind of information for us, if you have ideas for things you want us to talk about, if you have corrections, because there's always corrections, you can find us on social media. Potty Mouth?
Yes, you can find us on X Twitter thing or Blue Sky at NCIB Podcast, Facebook and Instagram, and No Crying and B-Ball. I'm really sorry, Patreon friends. I just realized I forgot to put up last week's 5 minutes, but that's going to happen before you hear this. So go to Patreon, patreon.com/nocryingandbball, and we put up bonus segments, and we talk to our friends there, and we try to establish a lovely No Crying in Baseball community. So please come be a part of us. It does not cost much money at all, and by your small investment of like $1 or more a month, whatever you want to give, we can keep this thing going. So if you're listening, please consider it, because we need to build that community a little bit more.
For sure. Hey, so get your booster, fight the man, it's the right thing to do. Send your game balls to Meredith, and until next week, say goodnight, Potty Mouth.
Good night, Potty Mouth.
I do want to talk a little bit. I want to talk about this cocktail, because I really enjoy this cocktail. And as talking about this cocktail, as good as drinking it, it is not.